You began this morning preaching on the subject of our five senses and sensing God with our senses, God consciousness. We use those two little phrases out of Hebrews as sort of a springboard. Now, faith is a substance. That little word substance, it's a mysterious thing that causes one to bow in a fixed relationship under a new master. And without it, you can't please God. We found in our study that God would begin, continue, and conclude this faith work through our five senses. And so we began this morning looking at our sense of hearing. And we found there the commencement of our faith. All faith begins with God giving us ears to hear, spiritual ears. I'd like to tonight, if I could, take a little detour, because you know we have five senses. We've got six nights. And the reason why I was led to this particular sermon, from time to time, watch a little program called Cash Cab. It's a cab out of New York, and if he picks you up, he asks you questions all the way to your destination. They're just trivial questions. And if he stops at a red light, there's a red light question. It's got multiple answers, and you have 30 seconds. You just call out anything you can think of. He had four college students on the van one night, and he asked them, they had 30 seconds, to name the five senses. I thought it was interesting that they could only name three, and they were stumped. So I thought maybe we ought to all get on the same page. I was wondering if I pointed to you tonight and said, you've got 30 seconds, would you name your five senses? Could you name them? Of course, I am reminded of the little class where they were studying the five senses, and they had named all five of them. And little Johnny said, teacher, you left out one or six of them. And she said, no, we didn't leave any out. Which one do you think we left out? He said, sense of humor. But the one I want to preach to you on tonight is the seventh one. And it just recently died. It is called common sense. And I'd like to look at the little word common in the Bible. It appears several times in the scripture. And it is always centered around common sense. And I find in my own life tonight that common biblical sense will produce not the commencement of our faith, but the continuance of our faith. All faith will be progressed through common biblical sense. Just things that are as clear as the nose on your face. If it's a snake, it'd have done bit you. Common sense. Of course, you know, in a lot of realms, common sense has died. I was thinking about a man who recently broke in a home in San Francisco. During the robbery of that home, a policeman showed up. And because he thought the burglar had a gun in his hand, he shot him in the house. He became a paraplegic. He was paralyzed from the waist down. The city of San Francisco awarded him $1.5 million. That don't make no common sense. But I have found one even greater than that appears right here tonight. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Just as the stupid city of San Francisco would reward him, it's just as clear as the nose on our face. I find myself often leaning to my own understanding and trying to figure out my situation when it would just be good common biblical sense to just trust in the Lord and have him to direct my steps. Now, with that thought in mind, I want to look at several places the little word common is mentioned in the Bible. We want to begin in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 6. The little word common, and it appears in the Bible on different occasions, it can either mean a few out of the whole, or it can mean the whole, everybody, not a few. So with that thought in mind, let's look at it in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 6 and verse number 1. He says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. You remember Ecclesiastes written by Solomon when he was away from God. Anything that is under the sun is situations that are without God. You only find God beyond the sun. Everything that is under the sun is human. He says, and it is common among men. This little word common here, it is a little word that is common to the whole. Everybody has this. And I want to begin tonight by looking at a common practice. A common practice. I notice in verse number 4 of chapter number 6, there is a common practice at birth. Did you know that all of us had something in common when we came out of our mama? Pray tell, what was it? Verse number 4, for he cometh in with vanity. That little word vanity is an empty, a little interesting word. It means empty. When you come out of your mama, you came here void of any God consciousness. You had no ability to get to God. Did you know that some of you, it's been a long time since you come out of your mama, but you're still in the same state you were when you come out of your mama? You still have no ability to get to God. And if he don't come to you, you're going to bust hell wide open. And you know if he's come to you because he'd give you ears. You remember we studied that this morning. And if he speaks to you, it'll cause you to be ecstatic. You remember that this morning? Ain't some of you ain't never been ecstatic. Huh? Hello? So he says, this little word vanity here means those that chase the wind or chase bubbles. There's some of you sitting here for years, you've never been able to find your little niche in life. You've just been chasing bubbles. Come out of your mama's womb like that. It is common to all men that are born. Did you know those little children? I know they're cute. Oh boy, wasn't they cute? We had a stage full of bubble chasers right here. And if God don't touch them, they'll be bubble chasers when they get gray-headed like you. Yes. Come like that. It's common to all men. It's a common practice. But I notice not only there is a common practice at birth, but I notice in verses 2 and 3 there is a common practice of life. He says in verse number 2, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul,
of all that he's done. This man has collected all kinds of possessions. He's got a house, cars. He's got all kinds of pretties. But look at verse number 3. He says, if a man beget 100 children, live many years, he's had a great heritage. He's had plenty of young, he got grandchildren, got plenty of stuff. So that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with. What is that word right there? Can somebody help me with it? What is that word? Somebody tell me what it is. What? Good. Somewhere I read where it said, God is good. Here he has collected all of this stuff. He's got plenty of children, got plenty of grandchildren, but he's still empty on the inside. Did you know that that is common in America? Not of just a few, but the most. Do you realize tonight it could be a common thing here tonight that a good majority are void of any God consciousness? Well, gracious, we come to church all the time. It matters not. It matters not. Here they have all that they want, but no good. He says, notice this common practice of life. He says also that he hath no burial. That's an interesting thought. This fellow that has collected everything. Got plenty of children, plenty of grandchildren. No burial. I was studying that little word burial there. It's an interesting little thought. Number one, it could be a possibility that he cremated himself. I don't know if you're into cremation or not. If you are, could I tell you this awful deep? I don't know if you can get it or not. It takes common sense to get it. God ain't into it. He ain't into the cheap way out. He owns everything. A burial is nothing to him. Hello? But the second little meaning of the burial here is no recognition of where they laid you. Do you know that if you die in that state, God can forget where you were buried? He's never going back there again. Hello. Whoa. Did you know that every generation since Adam, that has been the common practice of most people? The majority. The Bible says narrow is the way that leads to life, and there won't be but a few people find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many, most, will err therein. So most in every generation has died, and God says, I do not have to remember where they're buried. I'll never be going back there again. That is a scary thought. Watch the text. Not only is there a common practice at birth, there is a common practice at life. But I notice in verse number 4, there is a common practice of death. We're talking about common things. We're talking about common sense tonight. I did not know if you noted it or not, but it is a common thing that everybody's talking about going to heaven, tank going. Leastwise, that's what the old tongue-tied Nazarene preacher used to say. Everybody talking about going to heaven, tank going. Just because you're talking about it don't mean you're going. It is common, God said, that most are not going. Only a few. I'm glad I'm numbered with that few tonight. Are you listening to me? Well, how do you know you're going? Because I got ears. He talks to me. Watch the text now, verse number. This is a common practice of death. He says, for he cometh in with vanity and he departeth in darkness. Departeth. He leaveth here in obscurity. He just steps out into the unknown. Darkness. Tell you, if you have no God consciousness, when you step out of here, step out into a darkness, obscurity. It'll be dark where you go forever. Whoa. I don't know about you. I don't like darkness. I like everything that has 100 watt bulbs in it. Huh? I don't like none of this silly new stuff of 40 watts. Give me 100 watt. I don't care what they say. Brighter the better. Huh? And his name shall be covered with darkness. His name will be in obscurity. God said, I'll never give him another thought. It's forever gone. I was thinking about death. Of course, I don't know. Since I've crossed that 60 line, I've given it a lot of thought. Of course, you know, I don't know if I've told you this or not. I crossed the milestones here in the last days, 60 and 40 and years of preaching, 39 years married, and 40 years saved, 38 years preaching, 39 years, and oh yeah, I threw up last year for the first time in my life. I got that on my resume now. I have puked. Great milestone. I never done it before. I know some of you have done it, and you can testify, man, I've done that, but I never done it. Man, it's awful, just like y'all said it was. Huh? I never done it in all of my life. It took me 60 years to get it together. But I did it good when I did it. Bad. You listening to me? I was thinking about life. I was wondering tonight, how many of you here tonight are 60 or beyond? Keep your hands up now. How many of you here tonight are 40? Keep your hands up, you 60. Y'all ain't that weak. Keep your hands up. How many of you here tonight are 40 and beyond? Gracious preacher, that's the majority. Put your hands down. Do you know how they identify your years on your tombstone? I know this upset some of you. But it don't matter how long you stay here. They always describe how many years you stay here with a dash. Yeah. Birth date, death date. Man, he lived 80 years. It don't matter. Man, she didn't live but 6 months and died. Same dash. Yeah. Yeah. That's all life is. And it don't matter. You know, you might say tonight you are old. Some of you, like this group that sung up here tonight and this group that sung up here, you might say you're young. Your birth date ain't got nothing to do with how old you are, how young you are. We determine how old you are by the time you die. Well, sir, how old are you? 9? Good brother, how old are you? 84. He's 9. If he dies in 6 months, he is right now very old. He's only got 6 months left. If dear brother here lives to be 100, gracious, he got 16 years left. Long time left. See, it doesn't matter tonight about your birthday. What matters is when they put the dash in. You listening to me tonight? And you know, I was thinking about that today. Some of you that are young here tonight, I have been in the funeral home, seen coffins that'll fit you just right. Just right. Do not think for a minute tonight you've got a long time to think about this thing. You may not have but a dash. That, my friend, is good common sense. You better be quit putting off what you need to do with God. You never know. There may be an old tombstone feller tonight fixing to tap out your dash. You listening to me tonight? You say you're trying to scare me. Oh, grace, I wouldn't try to scare you. Couldn't scare you. With all the murders you've seen on TV, I couldn't scare you. I'm just giving you some good common sense.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Common practice. You still with me? Look in your Bible again at the little word common. In Mark's Gospel, chapter number 12, the little word common is mentioned again. Not only is there a common practice, but there is a common people. Common people. You remember now, the little word common, it usually deals with the whole, or it deals with the few. In Ecclesiastes, it dealt with the most. Here in our text that is before us now, in Mark chapter number 12, it deals not with the most, but it deals with the few. Mark chapter number 12 and verse number 35 through verse number 37. Notice what it says. Mark chapter number 12 and verse number 35. Jesus had answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. Whence is he then? Is he his son? And the common people heard him gladly. Common people. Just a few, not the majority, just a few, heard the Lord gladly. I would notice in this a text here an attention to him. The scripture says, and the common people, just a few now. You remember, if you look in Mark chapter number 12, we've got political people. We've got the Obamas, the Bidens, the Pelosis here. We've got the religious people, the Sunday school teachers, the deacons, the treasurer, all that crowd. We have got the socialite. All of those are mentioned in this chapter. But here he comes and says, just the common people, just a few heard him. That attention to him, I was interested in that little word, heard. It means to give an audience to. But it is not the little phrase of he that hath ears. It's not speaking of one with the ability to hear. Oh, no. It is speaking of that little word, he that hath an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith. It is that undivided attention. It's like they're all ears. I don't have to look at any of you too long to know how long I've kept your attention, and you're gone. There was a small group that were just all ears, attentive. Wanted to make sure they heard every word. They just hung on every word. I want to be in that group, don't you?
Oh, yes,
huh?
Yes,
I hear tell it's the group that's going to heaven.
Right.
Hello. Just common sense now. We're not going out with anything deep, just common sense. But watch, not only the attention to him, but notice their attitude towards him. The scripture says, and they heard him. What's that word? Somebody tell me what. That's a big word. That's got a bunch of letters in it. What is that word? Somebody tell me. Gladly. I was studying that little word gladly. It means sweetly. Some of you young people here tonight, Is this your definition of sweetly? I didn't know that's how it worked. Sweetly. I noticed the little word gladly, with great pleasure and delight. I was studying the word, gracious, I know you're not going to believe this. The little word, literally gladly, means on the edge of your seat. Do you know, I have noticed in preaching here for years, there's only a small group of you. Your preacher does it a lot. You listening to me tonight? I want to be amongst that group. Come on. Give to me. You listening to me? There's an old gal in Monroe. I was singing about some of y'all singing tonight. There's an old gal in Monroe, Alabama. Gracious, she can sing the house down. And the whole time she sings, every now and then she'll lift her knee up. When she gets excited, she'll lift. She reminds me of one of them quarterbacks. She's ready for the ball, man. Huh? Oh, gracious, wouldn't it be wonderful if we'd come to church like that? Right on the edge of our seat, just all the time. Man, we're ready. Give it to us. Huh? They heard him glad. Not everybody. No. Just a small group of people. Just a few. I want to be amongst that number, don't you? Sitting on the edge of my seat, waiting for him to speak. But not only I noticed there was an attention to him, there was an attitude toward him, but there was an awareness of him. They're discussing in verse 35 and verse 36 a very deep subject. Some believed that David was Jesus' father. And some of them believed that David was Jesus' son. Time out. Hold on. Preacher, I'm thoroughly confused. Oh, I tell you, if you believe that truth, you'll be confused forever. Because Jesus said over in Revelations that he was the root and the offspring of David. He said, I was before David. David sprung from me. And he said, I was after David. He said, I sprung out of David. Whoa. He was David's father and he was David's son. How in this world can that be? I tell you, you'll only figure that out if you start sitting on the edge of your seat. Awareness of who he is. Oh, I want to be numbered. I don't want to be a part of that crowd that does this. Man, is he done yet? Huh? He gonna shut up? No! It was a small group there. Just a small group. See, every generation that he's ever worked in from Adam till now, he's only had a small group that was really going to heaven. The majority was going to hell. Just a few. They were common people. You still with me? You got your Bible there? We'll look at the word common again in the book of Acts, chapter number. Man, I want to make sure I'm with this group. Well, you can make sure if you want to tonight.
Yes, sir.
You one of them common people? You got any desire to sit on the edge of your seat? Huh? I can take that Bible or leave it. It's all right. It's pretty good. I'll not pick it up again until Wednesday when we come back over here. Oh, no. People that sit on the edge of their seat, they are prone to want to pick it up before they go to bed tonight. Common people. Not the majority. Just a few. Just a few. Not only do I see there's a common practice, there's a common people, but I notice in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, there is a common possession. Common possession. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. I notice that they possessed a common worship. This small group of a few, they always worship the same. Notice the text if you've got it. Chapter 2 and verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. Verse 44, and they all believed, were together, and had all things common. There's that word common again. You said, preacher, is he talking about the whole? No. Just a few. Out of the group. Had common possession of worship. Well, what did they possess in their worship? They had possessed common doctrine. Verse 42 said, one's belief and convictions about God. They were together in what they believed about God. He says they had a common fellowship. It has the idea of sharing in the same feelings of another. If one is weeping, I'll weep with them. If they're rejoicing, I'll rejoice with them. That's not true of everybody here. It's common of a few possess the same worship. He says here they had the common of breaking of bread. That little word breaking means to crush or to split. The little word breaking of bread is very akin to our little word eutychus. What? Eutychus. It is the giving of thanks for the cross. There is a small group here tonight that keeps wanting to go back to the cross. The cross. The cross. Giving thanks for the cross. He says in this common worship that they had common prayers together. This small group, you'll very seldom ever hear them praying for themselves. It's always praying for somebody else. Even if you call on them publicly, they pray for someone else. Even in their private prayers, they very seldom ever pray for themselves. It's always others. I thought this was interesting. Not only do they have that common doctrine, fellowship, but the Bible said they had a common praise together, giving thanks while telling a story. They didn't mind standing up and testifying in the Holy Ghost. This small group. There's some of you have never stood up and told no story. You say, well, I tell you, I'm bashful. You get to sitting on the edge of your seat, your bashfulness will go away. Because it ain't too far if you're sitting on the edge of your seat to standing up. Hello? Huh? I got to thinking, if you was to get a group together and the majority of them had the same doctrine, the same fellowship, the same breaking of bread, the same prayers, the same praises, it wouldn't be long till God would come and camp out on the place. God would come and make His glory known. If you was to get a house full of people sitting on the edge of their seat, common people. They had a common worship together. But I notice in chapter number 4 of the book of Acts, they possessed a common wealth. Ruh-roh, now he's going to talk about our money. No, I'm not going to talk about your money. I want to talk to you about his money. I did not know if you knew it or not. I know you have been telling your wife for a long time, what is yours, and what is mine. But he literally tells you that tonight. What you got belongs to him. Yes, sir. Hello? Yes, sir. So you ought not to be stingy with something don't belong to you. Look at Acts chapter number 4, verse 32. And the multitude, the little word multitude is their little word common. He's not talking about the majority. He's still talking about this small group. He says, in the multitude of them that believe, they got the ears to hear, were of one heart and one soul, and neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. None of them said, that's my wagon. None of them said, that's my house, that's my kids. They ain't own nothing. God owned it all. Oh, common possessions. There's only a small group of people in Baptist churches that believe what they got don't belong to them. There's some of you here tonight stupid enough to believe you work for what you got. You ain't never worked for nothing you got. Everything you got, God give it to you. Could have left you sucking air a long time ago. If you got it, he give it to you. And if you ain't got it, he decided not to give it to you. Common possessions. Common wealth tonight. But look, not only was there a common worth, there was a common wealth, but there was a common witness. Chapter 2 and verse 44. They all believed were together. It's an interesting word. That little word together, I've been studying it for the last few weeks. It means to take two, make one out of them. Gracious, how in the world can you do that? Take you and God, two warring parties, put you together and make one of them. That's what church is all about. Taking you, you're at odds with God, and making you one with him just like him. They were all together. Watch the text now. He says he took them, brought them together. He took two and made them one. He says in the middle of this in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. He begins to channel all kinds of wonders and miracles and signs through this group. Well, how come? Sitting on the edge of the seat, worshiping him, giving him glory, giving him praise. I thought this was interesting. Chapter 4 and verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and bought the price of all things that were sold. Do you know that this small group gave God everything they had? And they always had plenty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why, gracious, some of you are just in the tithing. Did you know God's not impressed with your tithing? He has never been thrilled about it. I don't know about you, Brother Bear, if I was in business with someone tonight and they were keeping 90 and giving me 10, I would want to renegotiate with them, wouldn't you? I'd feel like I was getting took. He did renegotiate with you at Calvary.
Yes, sir.
He said, now that you see I've died for you, you don't want to do that lost stuff anymore. You want to move towards giving me most of it, and you just keeping a little bit of it. Just keep your pockets open all the time. He said, I promise you one thing. He said, I'll always give you plenty. You'll never lack.
Amen.
Oh, great. He said, everybody. Just a few folks doing that. Common people. I want to be amongst those common folks, don't you? I'm talking about a common possession. Could I look at this little thought? I'll be done. I know some of you feel like I ought to be done already, but I'm closer to being done than I ever was before. Jude chapter number 3. Looking at the little word common. Just common sense now. Common sense. Jude chapter number 3. In closing, some common principles. Some common principles. Just good common sense. There's common practice, common people, common possession. Always not the whole, just a few. God's just had a few in every generation that were common people. They possessed in this principle, I notice in Jude 3, a common salvation. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write on you of the common salvation. This is a salvation that is only possessed by a few. Not the majority. Not the whole of the group. What is this common salvation look like? He says in verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified. Sanctified, past tense. The little word means set aside. He said this small group of people. He said in a past action, God set them aside. Paul said he chose us before the foundation of the world. If you have this common salvation, he says that he was set you aside beforehand. But watch the text. He said, and preserved. That little word preserved is an interesting word. It means to be pickled. Whoa. I'm pickled in Jesus. Huh? I'm pickled pink. Huh? Preserved. There's nothing going to get me contaminated or put any rot into me. I'm preserved. How come? I've been set aside. But he says here, not only are we sanctified, we're preserved, but we're called. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. If he calls you, what does that mean that you've got? You must be able to do what? Thank you, sir. He said here, real low. Is that what we talked about this morning? Yes, he's giving you ears. He said, I set them aside before the foundation of the world. He said, I pickled them. And he said, I called them because they got ears to hear. Do you know I've got the salvation that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph's got? I've got the same salvation. He chose me before the foundations of the world. He pickled me in Jesus, and he called me and gave me ears to hear the call. That's the only kind of salvation there is.
Well, preacher, I tell you, I was out one morning hunting and I just got this feeling all over me, tingling all the way to the bottom of my feet. You can rest assured of one thing, ain't nobody in the Bible ever got it like that.
Yeah, it's all right.
No.
It's a common, just a few out of the whole got it like that. Titus chapter number 1. Not only is there a common salvation, there's a common faith. Common faith. He says in the book of Titus chapter number 1, and I'm hurrying. I know I've gone over, and I know maybe I'm boring some of you, and I don't want to do that. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 4. Titus, my own son, after the common. Preacher, what does that word mean, faith? Now, faith is the what?
Substance.
Mysterious thing causes one to bow in a fixed relationship under a new master. He says all that he saves, not everybody, just a small group, he gives them a common faith. How can I know I've got this common faith? Notice there, if you've got the Bible, in verse number 1, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's. What is that word? What is he done stuck in here? The elect, the ones that he picked out.
Well, I thought we picked him. Not so. This is, we're talking about common sense. Now, we're not talking about what you've been thinking about. We're talking about common biblical sense.
He said, I did the picking. Mine elect. I picked them. Common faith. He says, it's acknowledging the truth, which is after godliness. He says, and it comes through the manifestation, verse 3 said, of preaching. He said, I save everybody I save through preaching. Magnifying the word of God. And he says, I channel through them in verse 4, grace, mercy, and peace. It's a common faith. I'm glad I got that common faith tonight. Can I mention one last common principle? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is my favorite. Oh, I love this one. I'm so glad he put this. See, everybody don't have this, just a few. Just a few. Verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is. There's that little word again, common. This is not true of everybody. No. Just a few. Common to man. I hear young people all the time talking about,
I tell you, my mom and dad don't know what I'm going through. We got far worse than they have. I tell you, the devil's really on our path.
No, he ain't. We're talking about good, common, biblical sense. He said, there hath no temptation taken you except that is common to man. He said, the devil has been using the same bag of junk since creation. He's never changed. Whoa. Gracious, you can't tell.
Oh, this age we're living in so hard.
Uh-uh. Not according to common biblical sense. Watch it though now. Just a few have this, not everybody. He says, there hath no temptation taking you but such as common to God. But God is faithful. He said, for a group of people, right in the middle of their darkest hour of temptation, he said, they'll find me to be the most faithful. And he says, I will with the temptation also make a way to escape. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. Y'all don't have those. Gracious, the fire marshal's going to get you, brother. They're supposed to have exit signs up here. Oh, you don't have to have them? Well, anyway, most people would have an exit sign there. Of course, I do realize that y'all got common sense here. That's the little word that is used here. Exit sign. He said, with every solicitation to do evil, Jesus will be standing there and say, you don't have to sin. You can escape right here.
Right.
See, you don't have to tell your wife, oh, honey, I didn't mean to do that. No, you did tell. You didn't run. You run by the door. It was open. You could have escaped.
Right. That's good.
Huh?
That's good.
That's
Man.
Common biblical sense. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I don't know about you tonight. I'll not testify for you. I want to operate in the realms of just good, common, biblical sense tonight. Oh, I was thinking about that little old situation where that little old boy brought that Boy Scout knife to school, and they was going to give him 75 days of reform school. Duh! Nobody got no common sense. I asked my bank teller the other day if she had any common sense, and she got mad at me. I gave her my deposit slip. I was depositing $300 in her bank. And I wanted 25 of it back. And she said, you'll need to show me your driver's license. I have had that account there for 32 years. I said, why do you want to see my driver's license? She said, people come in here all the time and try to fool us. I said, would you think I was dumb enough to give you $275 and take $25 back trying to fool you? She said, well, we have people do it all the time. I said, when is the last time you had somebody come in here and give you $275 and wanted $25 back and they wasn't legit? Well, I can't remember one. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we here would begin to practice
good common biblical sense, God would progress us in our faith. Would you stand with us tonight? By the way, lest I forget to ask you, you got any evidence in your life of any common biblical sense tonight? Jesus said only a few had it, not the majority. They sit on the edge of their seat, constantly wanting to take in. They're always wanting to praise Him gladly and give freely. You know anything about common sense? While our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, without any music tonight, without any fanfare, I wonder, as you examine your own life tonight, you see it lacking, making foolish decisions in your life, when if you would have just followed the Bible, just good common sense, you would have not went down that dead-end road and made a foolish mess of what you've made a mess of. I wonder if you sense a need tonight to just come and root you out a place in this altar and say, Lord, if there's ever anything I've ever needed tonight, it's just some common biblical sense. Lord, I want to get in the Bible. I want to find out what You've got to say. And I want to follow that. Just common biblical sense. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some of you young people tonight would just get it in your mind, boy, I just want to follow some common biblical sense and not make a wreck of my life. While we wait a moment or two, we'll not wait long. The altar's open. Would you come tonight and cry out? Maybe you'd want to just get your family down here and say, Lord, this family, we just want some common sense. It's died all across America. Nobody is following what is clear as the nose on their face. God said it'd just be a few doing it. Not the whole. Not the majority. Just a small group. Want to be numbered with that group. While we wait a moment or two, God's speaking. You hear Him clearly. Come. Seek Him. Call on.